Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, three knots where we're able. We'll do routines, we're for the scenes, we're bookwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off from bad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Ho! Ho! To Shaziz the Terrible! All rise for King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold grind. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I've got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those Muslim old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hello everybody, it's old King Shaziz the Terrible. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table, and somewhere right in the middle of me talking, the Knights will be joining in, so you'll hear that nifty old call-in sound. Anyway, I wanted to start the conversation off today with the future of the world, and like I said, right in the middle of all this, we're probably going to get a call-in, so... That's good. The Knights are always welcome. That's what they're supposed to be in here already. But hey, anyway, what is the future of our world? You know, I said they, see what I said? All right, you guys are live, man. Yeah. Anyway, what is the future of our world? I've been listening to a lot of stuff out here via YouTube and alternative media, and mainstream media and all that kind of stuff. And if you listen to all these guys, you would assume that the future of our world is so entirely bleak that there's no possibility for anything good to happen. I read a comment in the chat room right there, and I'm not going to read it back out, but you know, somebody's a little bit upset about something that I didn't read the whole chat there, and talks about maybe not coming back and chatting in the chat room, and that's not a good thing. We don't want to lose anybody over some sort of misunderstanding or whatever. But anyway, you know, like I said, I've been listening to everything that's going on out there in the world. I've been listening to alternative media, and I've been listening to, you know, radio, TV, you name it. I've heard it all. You've heard it all. There, I put a video in the chat room that was about, I believe it was Bangladesh. They had a massive power outage that affected the entire deal, country of Bangladesh, whatever. Anyway, I'm thinking it's my mindset that we shouldn't have had that problem to begin with. Our power grid being the way that it is should have been worked on a long time ago. It should have been a solution that had already been taken care of. But, you know, the guys at the top are just not all interested in taking care of that kind of stuff right out of the gate, because it doesn't make them a lot of money. I mean, the problem that I see, somebody's got a lot of static going on in the background. I can hear your air conditioner. And somebody please mute your... Thank you. All right. I love those guys. Anyway, it's something that shouldn't have happened. You know, in today's society, here we live in the year 2014, and we have all kinds of technologies and rediscovering older technologies and all this kind of stuff. It's something that mankind shouldn't have had to deal with. You know, the power grid should be, like, totally backed up or whatever. But even here in the United States, if you look outside, you'll see wires strung in every direction. You know, it's kind of like a mad science laboratory. You know, I got wires in all different directions. If you trip over one and you try to find which one of the wires is loose, and you're kind of in a jam there. But the future, it doesn't have to be the way that it is. You know, the path that we're on right now is basically leading to sure destruction. We've got madmen running the show at the top, supposedly representing us, but not representing the corporations and anybody who can put a lot of money into their pocket, you know. There's a saying out there, the he who has the gold makes the rules, you know. It's kind of like a change of the golden rule. And so with that said, everyone out there who's got all the finances and the funds kind of seem to somehow get the right votes collected up in the Senate and the Congress and all that jazz. And we, the people down at the bottom down there, kind of just have to go along with the flow, you know. We argue amongst each other, Democrat versus Republican. The Republicans are running the country. The Democrats are running the country, when in all actuality, it's corruption that's ruining our country. It's greed. It's stupidity. When I was a child and the lights went out, it was kind of like an adventure, you know. We had flashlights and we had candles, and you notice suddenly when the lights go out, there's like a total connection between everyone there in the room. You know, it's an instantaneous feeling that you get. You know, a total awareness of the people around you. You, when the lights are on, the TV's going, and all of these distractions are happening, you know, you don't really notice each other as much as you think you do. You know, somebody's in the room if you see them walk by, or you know they walk in front of the TV or something like that, but do you really know they're in the room? But in times like that, you know, it's especially, you know, I remember one incident where we were actually in school and the power went out. Suddenly, you know, you knew everybody in the room. You knew where everybody was sitting. You knew the ones that were freaking out and the ones that were just making noise to have fun or whatever. You know, ooh, the lights are out, that kind of stuff. But there become a total awareness in the room. And it tells me something about people that, you know, when times are a bit on the rough side, that we had the capabilities to be aware, and we had the capabilities to do some amazing things. So I look at the possibilities of the future probably just slightly different than the average Joe. I look at the potential possibilities of what we could do with all the resources that we have available here on this beautiful earth of ours. We talked about yesterday on the Mad Science Show about heating, you know, being a really amazing, important thing to try to get under control ahead of time. And the conversation that came up out of that was just, it's great. I mean, we had ideas just flowing hand over fist, and it just turned out to be a really good show. If you haven't heard that, the podcast is up. And so, you know, every time we get these folks together here on the Knights of the Round Table or the Mad Science, the ideas just, they just blossom, man. They just grow. And that's what it's all about. So I'm sure that over there in Bangladesh, where all these individuals are sitting in the dark right now, that there's a lot of individuals that are running around helping each other out with flashlights and trying to check for each other's safety and stuff like that. There's a whole lot more going on in that dark country than meets the eye. You know, of course you're going to have jerks taking advantage of the situation and maybe looting and pillaging certain sections of the city. Which, you know, it happens anywhere. Every time there's a blackout or a brownout, you got knuckleheads that want to try to take advantage of people. But for the most part, I think the majority of people are trying to keep an eye on each other. They have an awareness of each other being around that's not normally there when everything's just running, you know. When everything comes to a screeching halt, and all you have is the people around you to keep your mind occupied, it's a whole different world. You know, if you go down to the Indian communities or something like that, and they're all outside around the campfire, there's awareness around there that just you don't see every day. There's a lot of Amish communities out there that they don't use electricity or modern deals, but when they're sitting around at night around the campfire or the fireplace or dinner table or whatever, using oil lamps or candles for lighting, there's an awareness between all these people. The future of humanity is going to be actually what we make it, what we allow to happen to us is what where we're going to take this world. You know, we are numbered in the billions. The elite, they're just a minority. We allow these knuckleheads to run rampant, to spend our money on wars and destruction and stupidity, when in all reality they should be doing what they were set there to do, was to take care of the people and to ensure that countries like Bangladesh didn't lose their lights. You know, our sun's throwing a fit right now. It's putting off some pretty massive coronal ejections and some plasma filaments and so on and so forth. And it is a possibility that the sun could literally put us back in the Stone Age as far as energy usage, electricity, you know, knocking satellites out, knocking the power off. And if the power goes down in major metropolitan cities, then you really got some serious troubles. You don't have the electric pumps going to pump the water, or the air conditioning, ventilating, or heat, and all that kind of stuff.
The food in the grocery stores would only be there for 3 days at the most.
Yeah, it takes about 2 weeks to fully restock a store, and a lot of people aren't aware of that.
The average food to get to your plate travels 2,000 miles.
Yep. And so thinking ahead of time, you know, and you stocking up for your family and that kind of stuff, you don't have to be some sort of tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist prepper kind of deal. I mean, even that's the way they're labeled, but some of these guys are brilliant individuals. They are right now building bunkers and stocking up stuff, and they're doing things and they're using ingenuity. What they're thinking outside the box, what would I do if things were to go bad? You know, and that kind of thinking is what I want to see towards the future of our country. If we had politicians thinking like preppers or alternative energy guys or alternative media guys and gals, you know, if we had people out there in our politics out there up in the government, Congress, Senate, the whatever they call them overseas, I can't even remember anymore, parliaments. If we had individuals out there like that who were thinking of the what-ifs and actually putting positive solutions towards that, you know, hey, instead of us doing research on the mating habits of caterpillars, why don't we do some research on how to ensure that if the power grid goes down, we can still keep the power running for the most important things, hospitals and schools and stuff like that at the very least. So anyway, we got the Knights on here, and I'm sitting here rambling on, but you put out a good point there, Justin, about the stores. You know, people, they take for granted that the stores will always be there, and maybe they won't, you know. But there are a lot of farming communities out there. Do you have any friends in the farming community, Justin?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, I only live in a town of 45,000 people. I come from Canada, right? I'm a small community, you know, everybody waves to each other. My school's across the street, you know, from my kid, and it's a small community. Like, I got deer, I got moose in my freezer, and I don't rely on stores. And when I do go to the stores, I don't go to the big name brand stores. I go to the market. I wake up every Sunday. I go to the market square, you know? I go get my eggs fresh, and I do everything to, you know, to not give money to them.
Let me ask you a personal question. In your travels and going around and meeting all these individuals where you're picking up your eggs fresh from the farm or something like that, you've made a lot of connections, a lot of friends, right?
Yes.
So, you know, if something really bad did happen, go down, like such as the power grid went completely down in Canada due to maybe a coronal mass ejection on the sun or something like that, you know, do you think that your average Joe in your neighborhood would be out looting and pillaging or trying to help each other out?
No, I can't remember the last time we've even had a killing here. You know, like, I listen to the news and I hear people being shot, cops being shot, whoever it is, people are being shot. Here in my little town, everybody's got guns, but they use them for hunting reasons. They don't have handguns. Handguns are meant for one thing, protection, self-defense, to kill, whatever, up close and personal. You don't need a gun. Like you said earlier, you only allow people to hurt you. If you don't let nobody hurt you, nobody can hurt you.
You know, in my neighborhood, there's not people blasting each other either.
No, they make it sound like that. They do things on purpose. The police definitely antagonize people, for sure. They want a rise out of us. That's the only way we know how to do things, is to fight instead of letting go and walking away. You see it in our... there's no difference in the bullying in our kids than the bullying in our politics.
Well, one thing that seems to stand common across, and I've talked to, you know, you're from Canada, I got friends from Australia, friends from Bulgaria, and, you know, all over the world, Scotland, Ireland, and all of them are just like you and I. You know, they just have the same wants and goals in life. You know, they want to do something worthwhile for people, and they want to take care of their family. They're just average good people. And so if you listen to the mainstream media, you would think that, you know, all Russians are communists, or all Muslims are terrorists, or all the, whatever. It's just, we need just fire the mainstream media. We need to fire the politicians. We need to just tell them, look, you need to go look for another job or something, because you suck. You know what I'm saying? That all they're telling is I'm telling you things that are just continuously negative. I can't turn on the news without finding a negative story. I got a lot of subscriptions on my YouTube because I want to see what's going on in the world, and I want to hear the average Joe view of the thing. And
see, we live in a fishbowl. I put it that way because you can't get out of it. We can't just pick up and walk away out of this fishbowl. And like the Georgia Guidestones say, that humanity should remain under 500 million people. For us to live in that kind of world where everybody, you know, got along and everything was done properly, like in the Golden Ages that it speaks of, you would need less than 8 billion people. We're at 8 billion people. You know, if I lived upriver from you and I was peeing and pooping in the water, you would get sick. Well, that's what's going on. Everybody's doing that. We're creating all of this.
Crabs in a bucket.
That's right, man. You turn up the water, you don't even notice it. We're polluting everything. We're the worst cockroaches.
I don't buy that.
Of our greed. Your thoughts, my thoughts, are the right thoughts, the way that we should live. But most men and women live on greed, and it's because of the money that's put in front of their face. You can't go to Hawaii unless you go to work every day to get your 1 week of vacation.
I'm sorry, I don't buy the whole we need to depopulate the planet in any form or fashion. We just need to start raising our children up to understand a few things, such as taking care of, I'm not saying depopulate. Yeah, I know, but that's what the Georgia Guidestones say. But
if you were to let things remain in natural balance, when I was 18 and I had a heart attack and my girlfriend called 911 and they rushed me to the hospital and fixed me, my greed, I lived on, whereas I should have naturally died off.
Well, you know what, brother? I'm glad you lived on. I'm glad you got that.
Yeah, me too, but at the same time, it is my greed. If I would have naturally died off, then the world would remain in its natural 500 million people. We don't have to go around killing.
The garbage that the fast food people served, you wouldn't have had a heart attack.
There you go, Larry. I was born with a defective heart, though, but like it could have been something that they were giving my mother. You never know, right?
You know what God said to man? When God created man, in my view, He said, go forth and multiply. Well, he put on this planet, he knew ahead of time what he was doing. Look at this Earth. This Earth is a thermal electric generator, a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. If indeed we ever reached the limit to where we were overpopulated, nature would take over control and nature would sort it all out, period. You know, I know of here in America there are thousands and probably even millions of acres that man don't even touch, that some are put out there by the government as natural reserve. You can't even go on there without a permit. And I know that all over the world they have done the same exact thing. I also know that, you know, they talk about how plastic is going to stay in the doggone landfills for thousands of years. That's not true. I go out metal detecting and I found old bread sacks that were just so deteriorated they crumbled in your hand, you know, and plastic cups, the same thing. You put anything out there in the sun, plastic, and after a while the UV rays will eat that up. It'll crack and break and fall completely apart and deteriorate. So there's no chemical that we've ever created that nature cannot destroy. All we did was take a pinch of this and a pinch of that, and we put it together. You know, outside of a diamond, you're not going to get anything to last for thousands of years, you know.
First thing, man is not perfect. That's the first thing we need to know.
Yeah. But the thing is...
Guys, can I just say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
This overpopulation... it's total illusion. And the reason why it works is what they're doing is they're forcing all the indigenous people off their lands into communities. And when you live in a community or a larger group of people, it looks like you're all herded together. And as Shaz pointed out, there's plenty of regions that are totally devoid of human activity whatsoever. There is just, well, billions of acres out there that people are not allowed. In Africa, Africa is known as the breadbasket of the world. Africa can feed the entire world's population of whatever it is right now, whether it be 7.5 billion or 8 billion or whatever figure they care to name, because it's just an estimate. They don't know. Okay? And the world clock doesn't reduce anybody. You know, when somebody dies, it doesn't take it off. It just keeps adding. That's an illusion in itself. But what I'm getting at, though, Africa can feed the entire world's population 3 times over. But what's going on in Africa is that they're forcing people off their land by bringing civil wars and local wars, whatever, you know, infecting people with AIDS and Ebola, etc., etc. They're just totally devastating Africa to prevent it from feeding the world. There would be no starvation if we had management that was truly working in benefit for the people. All the management systems out there are about controlling you and domesticating you so you cannot be in control of your own life. In other words, you've got to look to government for that handout to support yourself. When in reality, if you just took your own life into your own hands and became responsible for yourself, you can get whatever you need just from nature. You know, whatever they tell you, whether it be global warming or overpopulation or Ebola, it's all an illusion. It's a lie. They're giving you this fear factor, because whilst you live in fear, you're weak. If you have love in your heart, you've got strength. And whilst if you use that strength on yourself, because you can't help anyone else if you're weak, so you've got to look inwards on yourself, be loving towards yourself, and that love will emit to others, and you can help the community once you are strong.
Wonderful.
Sorry for that interruption, guys, but that's how it goes.
Very well said. The future of our world is literally in our hands as individuals. You know, we can either keep on doing what we're doing and go around in circles, you know, rooting for the red or the blue team, so to speak, and just continue to keep going down the same road. But I've heard of so much common sense on the Knights of the Round Table come from individuals all over the world. These are the guys that probably should be in charge of the world. If I was going to have a representative to go to Congress or the Senate or the Parliament, it'd be one of you guys. Because you got some common sense that the average politician out there hasn't got a clue about. You know, these guys out there, they pick out these things like global warming, and they go up there and they run on this because the Green Party likes global warming. They're going to get some votes out of that, or, you know, whatever, the immigration laws or whatever. You know, they're going to use whatever sounds good at the time. And is there knowledge? Who's whistling? Is there knowledge behind all that? Substantial enough that they can literally speak on that subject and say, yeah, well, global warming is or isn't true fact according to my own personal research or stuff like that? I don't believe so. I believe that they just go toe the line, whereas sitting here at the table, we don't toe the line. You know, if we don't believe in something, we respectfully tell it. We don't believe that's true, and this is why. You see what I'm saying?
On that note, yeah, I do. On that note of global warming, Shaz, even if it was true, throwing billions of money at it wouldn't solve it. You cannot change nature. Nature's going to do whatever it's going to do.
Well, I don't believe it's
global warming tax.
I don't believe it's true.
I don't believe it's true. But what I'm getting at, even if it was true, you couldn't solve it. That's what I'm getting at.
I agree.
Yeah?
Nature's in charge.
So,
Get over
exactly.
it.
Exactly. It's a non-issue, isn't it? It's a non-issue, but they make it an issue because they want you to live in fear. You know, it's going to get warm, and I'm going, oh, goody, my plants will grow better.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't like being cold anyway.
There is.
But either way, the key to this whole thing is knowledge, you know. Using the knowledge, we've talked about all kinds of things, from alternative heating to alternative medicine to everything under the sun, that if people had, you know, taken notes and did a little research of their own and shared that research with their friends and neighbors, if the lights ever did go out, it wouldn't be nothing but a thing, you know. Hey, you know, it's inconvenient. You can't go over and flip the light switch on, you know, using the power grid anymore. But you can still use those light switches. They're not bad just because the power's not on. I mean, you hook your own power source up to it. And using things you've learned from all these brilliant individuals, I mean, Muddy's actual flux wind turbine, or Larry's coils that he's working on, or, you know, solar power. There's so many different options out there. And so I guess what I'm trying to point out to the world is that the future doesn't have to be total crud, you know. So what? We get hit by coronal mass ejection and the power grid goes down, you know. So what? The people before us, they survived. The Indians, they survived. The Amish, they survived. The people on the wagon trains, they survived. You know, they didn't have electricity.
Shazam, I think you and Scott Blue Eyes both hit right the nail right dead on the head. Global warming is true. It does exist. It will happen. It is nature. You cannot fight it. Therefore, I suggest everything on this earth is subject to change. Therefore, you either adapt or die. So let's learn about global warming and then not try to change it, but learn how to live with it. Learn how to live with it. Back in, 1800, something like that, 1700, they had what was called the Little Ice Age or Big Freeze.
Yep.
Okay. There were parts of the world that people learned to live with. In England, in June, people were out throwing big parties on the, whatever that big river is, the Thames River or whatever. They were throwing parties, having picnics.
Well, you know, you hit a great point there, because if you think about the communities such as the Eskimos up in Alaska that are living in igloos and stuff like that, they just adapted, you know?
Yes, that you adapt or die. It's that simple. It's that nature. Change with its age.
I totally agree with you, Raymond, but there's one thing that I've got to correct you on. Global warming is not true. They've had to switch to climate change. That's true.
Oh, well, they moved it to climate disruption now.
All the time.
I said, and you are absolutely 100 and if possible 17.5% correct.
Yeah. Global warming's not true, because it's been there's been no warming for 16 years, and the climate has been cooling for the past 11 years.
Right.
Okay, so that blows that myth of.
Well, this winter is going to be.
It's climate change. That's
This winter is going to be proof in the pudding. So I'm saying, you know, go get you some extra long johns and some gloves and socks and stuff like that, because I guarantee you, it's going to be a chilly winter.
I tell you what, my father, once told me when I was young, he was an iron worker, had to work out in the weather, winter, summer, rain, fall. Of course, rain they didn't work because the iron got slipped and you get hurt. Anyway, the thing he told me is when the weather is about to change and it's about to become winter, put warm clothes in your car, every vehicle you have. Therefore, if you get out and the weather changes, you can put something warm on. And what his words were, it is easier to take off what you have too much of on than it is to put on what you do not have.
I actually always have a spare set of clothing in your car, because if your tire breaks down and it suddenly starts raining, you want some dry clothes when you get back in your car, you know.
See, that's what I was trying to say earlier about the way that we're going to raise our children, you know. There's a comment in the chat room, and I'll just read the first part of it. It says, my future food is going to be coming from the greenhouse. That's from Arthur in the chat room. And if you raised your kid knowing how to grow food, and you raised your kid with common sense, like Raymond was talking about, his father telling him about putting stuff in there, and, you know, like you guys were saying, you know, always keep some extra clothes or even blankets or emergency supplies in your car in case you break down. If you raised your kids like that, just like the Amish folks, these Amish kids, I bet they know more than 80 to 90% of all the city boys and girls out there that if it snowed 3 feet, they'd be fine. You know, they wouldn't stress over it at all, in the least. And these are the kind of examples. Go out there and talk to your local Indians on the reservations or the people out there in the Amish community. Or there's so many different communities out there that know how to survive. Go out there and talk to your local farmer, your local country boy. Ask them about things like that. You know, because if the world ever did come around to something bad happening, you know, you would so know. This,
earlier you mentioned about preppers. The thing is about preppers, the general idea is fantastic, and that's exactly what you were talking about.
Yeah.
You and the Avalon. But the thing is, like everything that is good, there are people that carry them to extreme. Preparation for world calamity, like an asteroid hitting the Earth and blocking out the sun, and blah, blah, blah. Hey, these things are possible, but highly unlikely. And if it did happen, all the amount of prep in the world wouldn't take care of it. Huh? But to prep, to a true prepper, makes damn sure that, like, you guys are trying to say that you study global warming, climate change, whatever, and prepare for it. Okay, my father's suggestion or saying was what it was, but it was for the moment, for that day. But there again, what you're trying to say, teaching your children how to grow food, build a fire, whatever, store things. This is what people really need to do. You know what I mean? Like your other suggestion, when they turned off the light or the lights went out, people seemed to get closer. Well, why not prepare?
Yeah.
Why not once a month, once every 2 months? Throw the switch in your house.
Build the breaker. Teach your kids something, you know?
Yes. Leave the refrigerator on, but turn everything else in the house off. And for 1 weekend out of every 2 months, the family just get closer together. And at these times, teach them about future things. That if the power grid goes off, this is what you can do. You can make candles out of chapstick. You can make candles out of a can of Crisco. You can go dig in a dumpster behind a donut shop and take the donuts out, soak them in water, and all the grease will float to the top.
Before you get too far, I want to go back to the candle thing you just talked about. I saw a really cool video where the guy took some tuna that had vegetable oil in it and poked a hole in the top straight out of the can, just poked a hole in the top, made a candle out of it, used the oil for the candle, and then turned around and made a sandwich out of the doggone tuna after the candle went out.
Fantastic. That's exactly what I'm talking about. These blackout or deliberate blackout weekend sessions is when you teach your kids how to do stuff like this.
Yep.
So teach their children. And in other words, like I said, prep. Prepare for, minor catastrophes. It's a catastrophe, but it's a minor thing if you are prepared.
Take them out camping and teach them what, in their local area, what you can and cannot eat. You know, even the things you can't eat can be used for some, positive purpose,
Exactly. Like, for example, you're out in the woods, you're camping. Don't take any food. Take just enough food to last 1 day, but go for a 3-day trip. Acorns, you can eat them. But they're nasty as heck. There's other edible that's more pleasant, but acorns do have a lot of oil. In fact, acorns are like 40 to 45% vegetable oil. So you could crush them and actually use them to make candles. I mean, people just don't realize what's out there. They need to get some. I like Foxfire books, actually, and Mother Earth News, and they used to have a magazine years ago for the Boy Scouts. You learn all kinds of stuff. And sit around on these deliberate blackout weekends. Read these books to your kids. Learn something yourself, adults.
Yeah.
I mean, don't people out there that were raised in the city have no idea what a deer looks like? I mean, I've got a friend of mine that worked up north with the game controller, game board. And there was a bunch of guys that come in one time. They came from New York City, went out in the country. They were going to go deer hunting. And they pull up at the game water station to check in this deer they killed. And of course, you know, by movies and all, they had it strapped to the hood of their car, which is dumb. The heat of the car ruins the meat. But anyway, they had it strapped to the hood of the car, and the game warden come out. They were all hot and bothered because they killed this great big deer, 400 or 500 pounds. And goes out there, the game warden said, there's the prettiest spotted black and white pony I've ever seen.
Oh, that's a mess.
I mean, they had no idea what a deer looked like. They, yet they're going to go to deer hunting. Kill some kid's spotted pinto pony and strap it to the hood of the car. I mean, folks, get some books, read them. Do a deliberate blackout weekend. Get the family together. Teach your kids things that they won't need.
Well, so, Hollywood shows everybody the zombie apocalypse and all kinds of crazy stuff like that, you know, and puts it out there, you know, that everybody's got their own whacked out views. But like you said, if somebody's out there shooting a doggone pony because they don't know the difference between a deer, you know, that section of society is in trouble, man. If the society ever was to collapse, whether it be financial or war or anything like that, and the people didn't know how to work together or even have a clue on, you know, we talk about alternative energy because that's one of the things that in today's modern society that we use in the abundance is electricity. Everybody can use electricity, and there's people in the world that don't have it that need it. And so, you know, with that said, we talk about that a lot. I mean, do we actually 100% need electricity to survive? No, we don't. But there are alternative methods to what you could, if you planned ahead of time and you knew ahead of time, that you could at least keep communications and lighting and so on and so forth. These are things that you should be teaching your kids. There's things that should be learning in science, you know. Remember back in the day when they taught you how to make a battery out of a lemon, you know, a nickel and a penny, and you plug it into the lemon and you stick your tongue on there and you get a little shock going on. They don't teach kids that stuff in school anymore.
No, they don't. They really don't. That's a shame, too. In fact, it's a good thing you brought that up because I just had somebody make a comment on my video on YouTube about the saltwater battery, and he said, don't you think this is a little bit lame that you're trying to teach, making a video of teaching kids or people about something that back in the 70s, they taught you this in school, but it was a standard procedure. And I said, yeah, you're right. It would be lame if we were back in the 70s, because today they don't teach kids this kind of stuff. The stuff that older guys like you and me, well, I'm even older than you guys, but the stuff I learned in science class and geology and history, they don't teach that stuff anymore.
Well, we can all go into the future following the leader, you know. I kind of liken the Knights of the Round Table to those sheep that's standing outside the cave, and the wolf is saying, hey, everybody come on in, we're going to have dinner, you know. And we're kind of standing back and saying, you know, you might want to think a little bit before you go in there, because he did say that you're going to have dinner, but he didn't necessarily you know, clarify whether you were going to be dinner or he was going to feed you dinner, you know. You see what I'm saying?
There was a show years ago about how some alien beings came to Earth, and their whole entire point was to serve man.
Yeah. And I remember that one.
And they had a book, and they translated the title, and it called To Serve Man. Well, this one really highly educated guy, he got in tight with the aliens and blah, 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 blah. And so they invited him to come to their planet. Well, they got on the rocket ship, they're going, and finally he broke the code, or translation code, for the book. And he tried, he didn't know if he got his word back to Earth or not, but in his message back to Earth, is it wasn't a service book, it was a cookbook.
Yeah. So common sense.
The schools across the street, the grade fours and the grade fives, are in the library all day, every day, because they have no classroom for them. So when the kindergartens go into the library and disturb the grade fours and fives, it's, but You got Ukraine over there asking for blankets and food, but we can't even give our kids a classroom.
Well,
where's our heads at? Like, what are they teaching our kids in school?
That's a good point. You know, they had that No Child Left Behind thing, and essentially now there were lots of kids that graduated from school that can't even read. And so, you know, what's the future of our world going to be? It's going to be what we allow. It's going to be what we make it, you know. I'm not saying everybody in every nation needs to go out and overthrow their government. I'm saying you, the individual, need to teach your kid as much as you possibly can. And you need to learn as much as you possibly can by yourself and allow the system to do what the system does, with exception of what you can control, such as, you know, hey, there's a war going on, I'm protesting against that, I send my letters, I tell everybody my, you know, how I feel about this thing, and I keep my eye on them while all this is going on. You know, I'm not saying that going out there standing in front of your Senate building and rioting and looting and pillaging or whatever, or trying to protest and getting beat up by the cops. I'm saying using wisdom, putting your information out there, letting them know that you don't approve, but at the same time continuously teaching your family and your children and preparing yourself for whatever mistakes that they're going to make while we're all trying to get our act together. Because we've been used to following the leader for so long. You know, I know that the folks that's sitting on this panel aren't necessarily following the leader, because otherwise we wouldn't be out here talking common sense to people. But in the situation that we find ourselves in, to where, you know, according to what we hear on the news and through alternative media, that everything's off, that according to them, we're on the verge of World War III. If we are on the verge of World War III, what we're saying here now is more important than ever, because if they start bombing the crud out of things and infrastructure starts falling in your town and my town, we're going to need to know how to fix it. You see what I'm saying?
You see a very good example of that. If you look at our countries, our kids are either on drugs, fat, or pregnant. And if you look at, like, what Putin did, Putin spent 4 hours, a little over 4 hours, with universities, colleges, and high school students, asking them, what kind of improvements can we do? And he spent 4 hours, a little over 4 hours, unscripted, with all of those people. Like, there was like 2,000 people in the crowd, unscripted.
Well, and that's what a leader should be doing.
For his own country. What are we doing for our own countries? What are we doing? Nothing.
Can I just more jails say something and hospitals. About that, Justin?
Yeah.
That is a media stunt. Putin is just like any other president. He's doing it for politics. They want to put Putin in a good light to show Obama in a bad light.
Well,
it's not really. Hang on, guys. I've got. You mentioned No Child Left Behind.
Yeah.
This is the same as Raymond was saying, to serve man. What it really means, No Child Left Behind, means that no child will advance further than the dumbest child. All the exams are dropping down in level of ability, so you'll end up with no right children, but they're all equally as dumb, because they're not out to teach anyone. They're just saying that, hey, your dumb child's going to be as smart as the smartest, because the smart ones aren't going to get any smarter. That's the system.
Well, here's where the key lies to both you guys, is this, that it's instead of worrying about what the presidents are doing, worry about what the local mayor is doing, or the local senator, whatever. You know, you can be a leader in your own community, even if it's just in your own personal neighborhood. You can go out and be the teacher that is needed in that neighborhood or that community, showing them things like this and pointing out, look, hey, you know, look at our grades for our schools. You know, this is not acceptable. These children, when they get old enough to graduate, they're not even going to be able to get a job, because what employer is going to sit there and read their application to them. If you can't read the application, how are you going to be able to read the labels on things or whatever? You see what I'm saying? It's going to have to start in your neighborhood. It's going to have to start in your own personal communities. And, you know, I know that there's people out there doing this right now, but it needs to continuously be pounded into people's mind that, look, nothing in this world is ever going to get fixed until we, the majority of people, we the people, actually do it, starting from our families up.
The thing is, but with Sky Blue Eyes saying that, hey, look, you dumb kids, the smart kids are just no smarter than you are. They're all dumb. A perfect living example exists. They took a survey, Miami State University. Sophomores, second year college students, could not spell Miami State University.
And that's sad. You know, they don't even want you to have competition anymore. Everyone gets an I tried trophy, you know, and it's never been that way in life. You would succeed if you tried hard and you succeeded. You would fail if you failed. And that's the way it should be, you know. You know, I'm not saying let them fall down and not pick them back up and help them along. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is the competition, you know, it was important because it gave you something to strive for. Now, who's going to strive for it if it's just going to be given to you anyway? You see what I mean?
Yep.
You know, McDonald's.
McDonald's, the restaurant?
Burger flipper. You need a... To be a burger flipper, you need a degree. And if you want to operate the fries, you have to have a PhD. Just kidding, but that's the way it's going with the education system. If you ain't got any of them, there's no chance of a job. But even spending all your time in education, going for a doctorate, etc., is still a waste of time. If you want to learn something, buy a book. You'll save thousands and thousands of dollars. You'll save hundreds of hours. You can learn three times as much as you're going to get taught.
Yep. I would say spend more time at the library and look at subjects you're interested in, you know.
I would agree.
The direction you want to go in life, you know.
If you want a job, go out and start a business, you know.
Just don't follow the compounded mistakes of the past.
Yep.
That's right, Larry.
You know, that's really brilliant there. You know, it's just the knowledge you put in your head right now is the knowledge you're going to have if all heck does break loose. You know, like the people over in Bangladesh. There's some folks in there that probably did a lot of research in alternative energy that are probably over there showing people how to keep a little bit of lighting on, you know, and how to get a fan going or some evaporative cooling and that kind of stuff. I would say there's more going on in that city right now than there was when the city was up and running normally. Because, like I said, the connection that you get. If you go take your family out to a campsite and you guys go on an overnight camp or weekend camp or something like that, and you sit around, you actually got to communicate with each other, you know? Unless you got your kids' hands all full of cell phones and everybody's texting everybody on Twitter or so on and so forth.
Get rid of the cell phones.
Yeah.
Get rid of them.
The natural connection. You ain't going to find no better natural connection in communities like the Native American communities and the Amish communities and stuff like that. These folks, when they sit around the dinner table, they really have conversations, you know. They really communicate. They really have a connection. So maybe it could be a case of... we'd be better off if the power grid went down. We'd be better off if there was some sort of natural calamity that, you know, didn't necessarily hurt everybody, but it made things, complicated to where people actually had to do something such as use their mind. I think there was a movie, George Orson, Orwell, whatever, that made a movie something about, future of humanity where there were robots were basically in charge and people had no idea what to do for themselves. They had been catered to so long in their lives that, when it come down to time to take care of theirself, they couldn't do it. You know, something to be learned from some of those old movies like that.
Yeah.
Time machine sums that one up with the Elok and the Morlai. The Morlai were domesticated people. All their food was laid out for them, and every so often the Morlock would ring a siren and everyone in a hot hypnotic trance headed to the underground shelters where the Morlock would eat them.
Yeah, so there
because
you go, man.
Growing up, eat more lion's food.
Mankind,
yeah,
in that movie, was a cattle. Mankind in that movie you're talking about were cattle. And if you look at modern society, we are cattle, according to the elite.
That's
what
exactly
we are.
How it goes. Exactly, but with sheep, they fleece us before they slaughter us.
Did you ever see that movie, Chicken Run?
Medical tyranny is.
Chicken Run was a great experience, great movie, and very easily mentally can be converted to humans and different societies. Yes.
Well, we're kind of like Chicken Run, man.
Yep.
We're trying to get over the fence, and we need to do that as a society, as you know, in a group of individuals with like minds, is get over that fence and bring everybody else on the other side of the fence with us. You know, I'm not saying that we got to, you know, just up and tear down our system the way it stands, because it's too big. It's too intertwined with what we've got going on.
But so I got a suggestion. How about once in a while on this show, that we've got a lot of listeners out there, we, from experience, or learning experience of watching other people do things the wrong way, maybe we'll bring up a suggestion on, so if something does happen, what can you do? Like, for example, my brother, very intelligent man, older than me even. But the thing is, they had a hurricane a few years back, the power went off for about a week, 10 days, And he was prepared. He had a 5,000-watt generator, and he had stored some gas because he knew the hurricane was coming. So he stored a little bit of gas. And so about 20 minutes every 2 hours, he'd run his generator to run his refrigerator to keep it up. That doesn't work. It does not work. What works is running your generator to run your refrigerator, but what you have to do is listen to the compressor. When you run it till the compressor stops, it's as cold as it's going to get. That's when you turn the generator off. 20 minutes every hour won't do it. When you open the door, you let the cold air fall out. You have to run your generator until the compressor turns off. Then you can unplug or turn the generator off and let your neighbor run his. Just a suggestion. One thing is things like we suggested the tuna fish and the oil candle, Crisco oil candles. Maybe we should start mentioning things like this so that when people do have power outages, they don't do the wrong thing.
Well, I think that's a great idea. And, you know, while you were talking about it, I thought about, you know, a couple things that in my own personal life, such as, you know, if the power grid ever went down, I live on a water table, so I could actually punch a well and have water without having to worry about it. But, you know, I had told my wife at one point in time, because a lot of people, when you don't think about it, there's water supplies in your house that you have access to in worst case scenario. One of them would be the tank on the actual toilet itself. And I know when you say toilet, that kind of sounds bad, but the tank, there's fresh water, a couple gallons of fresh water in there. And a lot of people in the cities put these little blue dye things inside there that clean the toilet. And I was telling my wife, you know, if worst case scenario come down and we ever needed water, we couldn't use that anymore, you know, because of the chemicals that you're putting in there.
Right. Well, you know, there again, I'm glad you mentioned water, because during that same hurricane, power outage after the hurricane, my brother and his two next door neighbors have 13 and 18,000 gallons of swimming pools.
Yeah.
You really don't want to drink it, but it is drinkable. but you don't want really want to drink it. But what about flushing the toilet? Taking a shower? Yeah. In fact, my brother went around and knocked on all of his neighbors' doors for 3 blocks and told them that he and his 2 neighbors gave their address, told them if they needed water to flush their toilets or take a shower with, wash with, whatever, they were more than welcome to come by with 5 gallon buckets and get some water. And if they didn't have the buckets, he had some that he would loan, you know, to, just to take the water home and use it. And like you said, it, when you do have a power outage, all of a sudden people start coming together.
And all, also you have the hot water tank. Usually they're anywhere from 15 gallons and up, you know, for hot water heaters that a lot of people don't realize that there's a water source there if you need it.
And if the water power does, the water pressure does go down because there's not enough electricity to pump the water up into the tower, and all of a sudden you turn your spigot on and you don't have water, there's always that little valve at the bottom of your hot water heater that you're supposed to open up and drain, not drain your tank, but to get the dirt and stuff out of the bottom of the tank at least twice a year. Well, you can always open that, open up the hot water faucet into your kitchen sink, and then open up that, that gives you air pressure to come in and replace the water coming out. And you can, in other words, that's drinkable water.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't think about things like this in a disaster or a power outage or whatever. Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Well, that's what we need to do, is bring up things like this. Well, your suggestion about the water in the toilet tank, excellent. The hot water heater, excellent. We need to bring things up there to people will remember this. They won't remember it day by day, but when a situation comes up, they will say, well, what would the Knights of the Round Table do? Oh, yeah, I remember. I remember. They said open the drain on the bottom of the hot water heater. We're here to help. Well, then let's do that. Once in a while, somebody come up with an idea and spit it out there so these people can lock it in the back of their mind.
Yeah, so, you know, these are things to think about. Like I said, you know, we talked about the future of our world. What is the future of our world? I would like to see the future of our world be, you know, a lot more intelligent than what we've seen now. I'm 49 years old, you know, and I've seen a lot in my life. And I believe, according to all the research that I do, that we should be so much further advanced as a society than what we are right now. But it all basically falls down to the system out there that we allow. You know, it's not a case of, you know, they just took over and we didn't have a choice. We allow. We've allowed from all the time since the founding of this country, people allowed things to go on. You know, they complained, they'd protest. But they allowed. They continuously allowed. They didn't check out whenever, like, say, the birth certificate first came into play. You know, what's the underlying factor there, you know? Did they keep track of that, or the Social Security system that they first said that wasn't going to be used as identification, but now, you know, it's attached to your bank account, your driver's license, your medical records, and everything under the sun? You know, we allowed that stuff to occur, you know? Prime example is the cameras on the street corner in every single city. In just about every country, some countries are worse. You can't walk from point A to point B without somebody that you don't even have no clue watching your every move. And if that isn't Orwellian, I don't know what it is. But when they first came out over here with the doggone red light cameras, they said, well, these aren't going to be used to write tickets to people. You know, we're just putting them there for public safety. And everybody says, oh, well, if it's just public safety, that's good. You know, they use those key words, public safety, you know. And so everybody just allowed it. And then suddenly, a year or so later, after everyone forgot about these cameras being here, suddenly tickets started coming in the mail to everyone. You know?
I got a thing about that shit. Hey, if you don't want to get a ticket in the mail, don't run the red light.
Yeah, just do the speed limit.
Say something on the camera issue there. You know, whenever you hear the term public safety, find out what it means.
Yeah.
Because it's a lie. Cameras have never protected anyone. Cameras have never stopped a crime. They've witnessed a few, but they still have not stopped a crime. It isn't for your safety. It is for surveillance. Okay. Hang on there, Raymond. I'll let you have a go in a moment. when you consider the red light cameras, what they started doing then was adjusting the timing of the lights so that they could get more people ticketed. So it wasn't for safety, it was for just
revenue
generation. But it caused more accidents than it did to save people. So those cameras have to go.
I disagree.
Yeah, go on, Brendan.
With very, very, very much respect, I have to disagree. Because, think about this a minute. If you didn't run the red light, that accident wouldn't have happened. So it is public safety, in a matter of speaking. I mean, there's pros and cons to everything. I mean, they're spying on you, okay? But they're spying to see who's breaking the law. And in breaking the law, you can cause an accident at a red light. I mean, if you run a red light and then you cause an accident, then it's public safety. We got the criminal. I mean,
I know what you're saying, Raymond.
You're on the cop of the traffic lights or camera. I'm on the pro.
Hang on, Raymond. The people who run red lights don't care about the cameras anyway.
Exactly.
They didn't work.
I have run a red light. An accident. A pure accident. Not paying attention. And I ran a red light. If they gave me a ticket, I would pay it gladly. Because I wasn't supposed to. I should have been paying attention. Fortunately, I did not cause an accident. To me, they're public safety. As far as the CIA, FBI, Homeland Security, whatever, tapping into Facebook and doing this, that, and other, okay, I'm happy with this. I'm glad with this. What I don't like is all the internet marketing people that tap into it so that they can better target their marks to sell their products to. To me, that's not right. But at the same time, when security gets into it and checks it out and reads your emails or your post to Facebook or Twitter or whatever, to me, I don't care. In fact, they can come and I'll put them up, I'll feed them, give them a place to sleep. They can stay in my house for a solid week because I don't deliberately do anything wrong. So therefore, I don't care who's looking over my shoulder. It's only people that are paranoid. I'm sorry, don't mean to offend anyone. But it's only people that are paranoid or people that are planning to do something wrong that don't want other people looking over their shoulder.
It's not about paranoia or that. It's about privacy. If you don't have any privacy, you are a slave. It's that simple. You know, do you want to be a slave just because you do nothing wrong? I don't mind. I will be a slave because I do nothing wrong. Yes, sir, master. It's a privacy issue, not so much a paranoia issue. Privacy. You know, if you want to do good business deals, you don't want everyone to know how much profit you're making, because when people says, oh, well, we can undercut him on that one, and we can also find out where he gets his trade from, you know, it's a privacy issue, Raymond. It's not. But back to the red lights, and if you run a red light by accident, you don't want to be penalized for it. It was an accident. You know, it's the nature of the game. Nobody's perfect. We all do accidents. Why should we be penalized for every accident we make? You know, my parents could say, hey, I was born by accident, and we've been penalized for it for the rest of our lives. You know, I'm kidding on that one, but you understand what I'm getting at. You know, accidents are accidents, and you shouldn't be penalized for every accident you make.
I agree.
Is what I'm getting at.
Because you took the car and I took the pro. And in the cons and pros, there are negatives and positives on both sides. A person runs a red light by accident. I mean, it's a pure accident. Should they be penalized? I don't know about that. I don't have an answer for that. But if you run a red light and cause an accident, I mean, even though
you cause an accident, you're going to be penalized regardless, aren't you?
Yeah, but you ran the red light by accident, and it caused an accident. A crash.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at is red lights didn't stop you from running that red light.
No, the cameras didn't stop you.
The cameras don't stop you. So they're a waste of time.
Who is at fault if there is an accident?
It isn't so much the accident. I'm talking about the cameras themselves. They're a waste of time. They don't stop anything. If you're going to run a red light, you're going to run a red light. The camera's going to see you and penalize you, but it didn't stop you. That's what I'm getting at.
That's what I'm getting at. We're both getting at the same place, but in opposite directions. You're saying that it's bad because it's not going to stop you from running the red light, even by accident.
I'm saying it's a waste of money. It's a waste. Why should the taxpayers pay for something that isn't going to prevent anything?
Because the taxpayers are also the ones that are paying for the automobile insurance. And automobile insurance would not be...
That's a scam, isn't it? You're going to be a hell of a lot more safer when you drive if insurance was optional.
Well, see... On that whole deal, you know, if I remember back in the day when insurance wasn't mandatory, and people knew that if they got in an accident, they could lose a lot. They could get fined and sued and everything, and possibly even lose everything they owned if they hurt somebody. So a lot of people were a lot more cautious whenever there wasn't mandatory insurance. I mean, is it wise to have insurance? Yes, it is, because just in case. But I noticed the difference in driving when insurance become mandatory. Everybody drove like maniacs because, hey, you know, I got insurance. If anything happens, I'm covered. No biggie. Little did they know that there was a thing called deductible that would come back to haunt them later. But, you know, that's another subject for another day. Either way, it all boils down to this, guys. What we do with our future... Is what we're seeing right here, you know, when we're just talking about some simple subject such as red light cameras, the pros and cons, and why we shouldn't have them, you know, privacy issues and such like that. You know, there's a word, a phrase out here called the honor system. You know, if everybody would abide by the honor system, we wouldn't need certain things like this. But once again, if you allow your society to go in a way to which, you know, like they were talking about the price for freedom being eternal vigilance, or that those who would give up liberty for freedom or liberty for security, you know, would gain neither. You see what I'm trying to say? It's a balancing act that the only ones who can control is we the people. If you are going to allow certain things, eventually they become the norm, and your kids are growing up used to being in front of a camera, used to being scanned by metal detectors, used to being taught certain things in school. When you don't agree with what your kids are being taught, you might want to try to teach them something else. Take them to the library, have a going out to the library day where everybody picks out a book and learns something, and then you get back together home and you like, what did you learn at the library today? And you discuss that, you know? You see where I'm coming from?
Exactly.
There's where the secret lies. It's been in our hands all along. I mean, we, for convenience sake, allow other people to babysit our kids. We allow the schools to babysit our kids. We allow the other people to babysit our kids. And while we're out of the presence of our kids, what are those individuals teaching our kids? If
your education is sharper than the sword.
Yeah. And so a knowledgeable brain going into the future is going to, in my belief, benefit the future better than somebody who just got passed because there was no child left behind law. You see what I mean?
Yeah, no child left behind law needs to be repealed. That's bull.
Yeah. I mean, you need to know things. There was a time when you couldn't graduate from school unless you knew the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights. You had to take a test on it.
Well, the preamble to the Constitution,
you couldn't graduate unless. Now, you go up and ask your average American kid today about the 4th or 5th or 16th Amendment or whatever, and they'll look at you cross-eyed. Now, they know the two most popular, the First Amendment and the Second Amendment, and they can quote them almost to the letter, but as far as what their other rights are according to that paper we call the Constitution, you know, they don't have a clue. Ask them who the Vice President of the United States is. They don't have a clue. When I see our society and the education level going downhill as opposed to what it used to be, I'm getting worried, because it's easier for the elite to rule over people who are dumb.
You know, what you said about the old school, I mean, really, school. Oh, and old. you guys need to think, I'm 70 years old. I am from that time period. I am from the time where if you missed a word on your spelling test, and we had one or two every week, if you missed one word, for every word you missed, you got 10 whacks across the buttocks with the Board of Education.
Well, back in that day, that was a whole different, corporal punishment was a whole different thing. Nowadays, it's like, you know, if you even think about taking your kid out behind the woodshed for calling you an MF-er, you know, it's a whole different story nowadays. They weren't threatening to take your kid. But I don't advocate clobbering any kids. I was raised up in a family to where if I cussed in front of my mom, I'd get my mouth soap and my butt tan, you know? And I knew there were consequences. Now, if the kids are growing up today and they don't know consequences because, you know, hey, I got ADHD or Tourette's, so I can say whatever I want whenever I want and nobody can do anything to me, then you teach that kid it's all right, period.
I can't tell you how many times I got a bloody nose from my stepmother for saying heck or darn it.
Well, there's a whole different society today. Things are a lot different than they were back in the day, but it all boils down to, you know, knowledge, education, you know?
Shazam, come to think of it, for every time I got a whack on the butt with the Board of Education from my teacher, the thing is, when I got home that night, if my father found out about it, I got another whack for me. Hey, it didn't do me a lot of harm. In fact, it did me good.
But how many banks did you rob after that? How many drug deals did you make after that? Or how many times did you go out shoplifting after all that? You knew that there were going to be consequences, and you didn't want those consequences. So, you know, to some extent, discipline is an important part of knowledge, you know?
You know, when I was in school, you could actually get suspended from school for 3 days for carrying a weapon. And back then, a weapon was a slingshot or a t-shirt.
Yeah. Nowadays, you go to jail for chewing your bread into a shape of a gun. But that says something about society when everybody's all like all over politically correct and you can't say certain things in school, and you know, it's just, it's become ridiculous. But once again, you're back to education. We the people, we allow all this stuff to happen. We move into homeowners associations and they say that we can't have an American flag in front of our house, and then we complain about our freedom and our rights. Well, it's like the software that you keep using on the internet. How many people actually read the terms of service in the software? Oh, I agree, and just go on because they want to use the software. You know, it's how you do the same thing with the government. You agree and move on.
Today it's illegal for kids to say the Lord's Prayer in school. It's illegal to read the Bible, yet men that commit murder, rape, mayhem, muggings in prison can not only read the Bible, but hold Bible studies. Think about that.
You know, and think about, you know, you can teach Islam in some schools, but you can't teach Christianity in some schools. So, look, common sense done went out the window, period. If you're going to teach one thing, you should teach it all. If you're going to teach science, you should teach real science and not, you know, half or whatever. You know, teach both sides. Let these kids use some critical thinking. Let them make their own personal decisions on how and where to go with their life. But we're allowing our children to be indoctrinated. We're allowing ourselves to be lied to. We allow all this stuff. You know, regardless of... Maybe that makes people mad when I say that, but it's the truth. We allow it because when you know there's voting fraud going on and you're not standing there as a community to count those votes to ensure that, hey, this guy either really got elected or he didn't really get elected, if you're not holding your politicians' feet to the fire when they say when they get elected that they're going to do certain things and then when they get into office they do just the opposite, you should be having recall elections the moment that guy steps out of line. You should tell them ahead of time, let them know that they're going to be held accountable for their actions and their votes. And if that was the case, if everybody spent the time to pay attention to their local school boards, their local mayors, their local town councils, and they weren't running amok, and when the numbers didn't add up, the hard questions come in. What did you do with our taxpayer money? You said we're taking taxpayer money to fix the road, but yet there's a pothole that's been there for a year. You need to fix this. You know, what I'm saying?
I can't remember who it was, but somebody said that you can eliminate all crime by simply making everything legal. If murder and mayhem and rape and thievery was legal, then no one would commit a crime. Now, here's the thing about our politics in the United States. There is none better. The only thing wrong with our politics is the politicians have made it legal. They have passed laws to make it legal for them to initiate their own raises. They've made it legal for them to pass laws that pertain to the people and not to them. It's been legal for them to pass laws that pertain to them and not to the people, where the original Constitution of the United States says they cannot do that. Yet they passed a law, an amendment, making it legal. Therefore, our politics, our government setup, the way it's set up, it is perfect. What's wrong with it is, only, like you said, we allowed politicians to go in there and pass laws that they can break the law and not be held accountable. It's the people. And as far as money being the power, duh, what about the people? How much money do we have as people if we combined it? And money wouldn't do it. It's voting.
I sit in front of the world on my radio show every day, and right in front of me on my desk is a copy of the United States Constitution and signed by all the founding fathers of the country. And to me, what the Constitution represents, and regardless of any conspiracy theories or anything other than that, the Constitution, in my eyes, is the only binding contract between we the people and our elected representatives to limit them from getting out of control. If we don't use that document that we all agreed that this is the basis for all of our law and our rules in our society, if we don't hold them to these laws, this contract that they signed in front of us and the founding fathers signed for all those who followed after that. This is what we agreed in America. This was going to be the set standard that everyone would have to abide by and in order for our society to succeed. If we the people don't use that document to hold their feet to the fire, and we just continuously allow them to test the boundaries or add or take away from that document without our agreement, then we are getting essentially what we agreed upon or didn't agree upon. We are allowing them to do whatever it is that they choose. You see what I'm saying? That is the only wall that stands between us and total tyranny. Once the Second Amendment's gone, the whole thing, the rest of it collapsed. Once the First Amendment's gone, the rest of it collapsed. And there's other important amendments in the United States Constitution that once they're gone, the whole idea of freedom as per described in the document that we call the United States Constitution, that starts in big, bold letters, we the people. Once it falls, then tyranny has a free run. And there's nothing you can do about it other than to take up arms and let the bigger, stronger man win out. And whatever society we get from that point on won't be what we started with to begin with. And I hope that that never comes down to that. But it's going to take we the people to get copies of this Constitution and put it on every wall.
And we the people need to study the Constitution, because it says we the people to form perfect union. I can't remember that. But it also says that agree that all men are created equal. It does not say that you have the right to suck off of rich people and not work.
Yeah.
It says are created equal. Therefore, you have the same opportunity to rise and learn. Or you can have, it's, you're created equal. It's your choice. You cannot go to school. You cannot learn. You can dig ditches for the rest of your life. But it doesn't say that if you're digging ditches that you have the right to eat steak every night, just like the rich man who worked for his money.
Well, people say that their vote doesn't count.
Are created equal. Therefore, as your creation being equal, it is up to you to decide what you're going to do with that creation.
Yeah. And people say that their vote doesn't count, and there's a lot of conspiracies behind it, such as all the different fraud which we're seeing right now here in the United States. We are literally seeing fraud in the voting polls. You know, you push one button and the other guy's name gets a vote. We're seeing that. We have seen that. We've seen dead people vote. Some dead people vote multiple times, and some people who aren't even citizens of the country who are not supposed to be voting are voting multiple times. We've seen it. But here's the key.
And I don't want to get political and conspiracy talking and all that crap, but at the same time, what I don't understand is how did a man with 47 actual hours of experience in Congress could become president of the strongest nation in the world?
Well, and there's the key. When the questions came up about the whole birth certificate, when any question came up there, the average Joe listened to the news and they took everything the news said to the heart. If it's on TV, it must be true. And there was their biggest mistake. You should always question everything that any politician or any news media outlet says. If you take everything that you hear to heart and believe everything that you hear as gospel, then you're going to go down a bad road, period. You know, you're going to get lied to, you're going to get cheated, and there's where the whole, we're back to education again. And the only way that they can steal your freedom is if you literally give it to them. When their question of the doggone birth certificate come out, there should have been an investigation from the Congress, but there wasn't. And we didn't say, we didn't come together on masses and say, oh no, we want this checked out. If this is true, this could be a national security thing. We didn't all do that. Most of us were too busy working and doing our own lives and playing Nintendo and all that kind of stuff, being distracted, arguing about which football team was going to win, as opposed to paying attention to our children's future. And this is indeed our children's future.
Every president of the United States in the history of the United States has had to show proof of his birth, of one way or another, that he was a natural-born citizen of the United States. Obama is the only president that this country has ever had that has not had to do that.
But we the people, once again.
On the internet, it's got to be the truth. I don't believe that. So I don't know if he does, if he was or was not born in the United States. But all I know is he did not produce legal, viable documents.
But once again, we the people, you know, there's folks out there that did the research, and immediately the mainstream media come on and said, oh, they're conspiracy theorists, tinfoil hat wearing nutcases, and the average Joe coming by, I mean, I was on my way to the bathroom because I drank too much soda while I was playing my Nintendo, and I looked over at the TV, and they said that there was a mainstream, or there were tinfoil hat conspiracy guys saying the president isn't the president because he got bogus documents, and the mainstream media said, oh, they're just nuts, and, oh, well, that's the truth, and I go on about my business and back to my Nintendo, you know?
I'd like to bring up something that Scavalera said about McDonald's and their higher upper echelon, you know, bigger jobs. Do you really and truly think that McDonald's would hire a man off the street with a high school education, teach him how to flip hamburgers, and after 47 hours make him CEO of McDonald's? How did the people, how in the world did the people of the United States elect, I said the people, not the votes,
yeah,
the people elect Obama, who is on record as having exactly 47 hours of congressional experience, got to be president of the United States?
Well, not only that, there's a whole lot of questions. There's a whole lot of questions.
I just want to respond to that one, Raymond. McDonald's would hire someone with 47 hours to be their chief public relations officer when they're going to announce to the world that all their McDonald's burgers are poisoned.
Yes.
And that's what Obama is, public relations officer. You know, you believe that you voted for him, or people believe they voted for him, but he was given that position.
You know, the main,
when it comes to presidents, there is no voting. They're chosen.
Well, and there lies, like
the it doesn't do it, but they do.
It doesn't matter how, and listen guys, it doesn't matter how you explain it, whether or not the votes were fraudulent or whether or not a secret society at the top or a long bloodline of crooked individuals put anybody into power. If we the people allow them to do what it is that they're doing, if we look at it and we fall for the whole, you know, look at my right hand while I sock you in the jaw with my left hand trick that's been going on for years, then we the people are getting exactly what we wanted. You know, it's that simple. I know it sounds hard, but if you know. And the things don't look right, you should be out there en masse talking to your neighbors and saying, look, this isn't right. And here's our document right here. We, the people of the United States Constitution, it's all there. This is our contract. This is our only protection from tyranny. And if we allow any secret society or any whatever you call the special interest groups or any corporation to walk all over us, and we're not on them constantly. We're not on the politicians, the senators from the Congress or whatever. You know, if we're not on their back, if we're not holding their feet to the fire and holding them accountable to that document, that's all we got. In other words, we ain't got nothing. Once that document, that's the last line of defense. If we allow them to get gun control through here in the United States, the rest of that will go by the wayside, because if the government ever gets out of control, what are you going to do? You going to take your pitchfork out there and protest? I don't think so.
The very first thing, when they nominated Obama for president, to run for president, the first things out of his mouth that I heard and that turned me against him was the lie. The lie that he was a black man. He is not a black man. He is a mulatto. He constantly, over all the years that he's been president, ran for president, whatever, he has claimed to be a black man. That is a lie. If he'll lie to you about his race, what else will he lie to you about? Obamacare?
Well, regardless of that, he's got papers from Indonesia, and he's got so much, there's so much in the background, but who vetted him? Did you hear the mainstream media vet him? Nobody vetted him. We the people didn't vet him.
The most obvious of all lies was that he was a black man. He is not a black man. He is not the first black president of the United States, and that's how they ran him on the ticket. That was one of the strongest things in all of the campaigning. Was he was going to be the first black president. Duh.
Guys, you're focused on a puppet that's being dangled at you. He's nothing. He's a puppet. What I want to get at, though, is that Congress has delegated all these powers out to agencies that are above the Constitution, they're above the law. When you've got the FDA, you've got the EPA, you've got all the other alphabet agencies, CIA, FBI, you name them. They write their own laws. And they don't even need to go through the Supreme Court to see whether they're legal or not. They just do them. You know, and you, as the people, don't have any say because Congress gave them the power to write their own laws.
But therein lies the same exact thing. We the people have the ultimate power. If we the people choose to exercise the ultimate power, we can walk up there and we can say, look, here is the law. You wrote it down. You swore an oath to uphold the law, and you're not doing that. You cannot allow these people to work outside our laws. But we're not. We're not. We're not doing it on masses. You know, small people are doing it in small groups of people are getting together and they're filing lawsuits against the government and stuff like that. But there's nobody on masses backing them because the average Joe is so dumbed down they don't even have a clue, regardless of who's behind the whole deal. If the law's in front of your face, it says in there that you can't, as a government, you can't do this to the people. And you know that you have this Constitution. This is your only defense against a tyrannical government. And you're not actually standing there putting that paper in front of them and asking them the tough questions. Why are you doing this? And you're...
Why do you want to allow another human being to predict or demand that that person do certain things, or change their life, or do anything in control? Why would any human being give another person control of their life, and the person that has control suffers no consequences? That's exactly what our Congress does today. The Constitution says they cannot do that. All they did is write an amendment to that Constitution to where they have the right to control the people and yet not be responsible for any repercussions of their actions.
And that's why knowledge is going to be the key to the future of this world, is that if you don't know, you'll never even know you had the rights. Our children that are growing up right now are growing up in a world where they haven't even got a clue what their rights are. They know a couple bare minimums because they hear it on TV all the time. I can act like a jerk on TV because I have the First Amendment. You know, I carry a gun because I have the Second Amendment. That's all they know. They don't know anything else in there. They don't know about the right against illegal search and seizure and all that kind of stuff. They don't know that. And so they go to school. Our children are going to school in a prison setting to where they now have to walk through metal detectors and be followed around the school by cameras. Our children are in buildings that are equipped like prisons.
You know, the thing is, the Constitution says that every human being in the United States, every American citizen, has the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. However, it is not written, it is understood. As long as your search for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness does not affect another person's right.
Same thing. But, you know, do you see the future, the way that it's going is going to be up to the people. It's not going to be up to the government unless we allow our governments of the world to continue. If you go down to school and ask them why they got them doggone cameras out front and why they got metal detectors up there, they're going to tell you because of all these supposed school shootings out there.
Can I make a suggestion on how we, the people, can go about changing this and do it in a revolutionary, bloodless revolution? And that is, get off your daggone dead, lazy butt and vote.
Yeah,
if the vote were out 75%, they would have a more difficult time of forging the votes. So consequently, in the United States today, there are more people that vote for a living than there are people that work for a living that vote. So if the working class would get up off their dead butt and vote, and don't vote for politicians, don't vote for lawyers, that's the problem.
Yeah, but it doesn't just stop there, because they said that only 50% of all registered voters will be expected to come to the polls. Only 50% of all registered voters. But it doesn't stop at putting your name down on there and saying, I vote for this guy. It stops for walking that doggone vote from point A to point B and see that it is indeed counted. If it is not counted, then you got a problem.
You know, I've talked to at least minimum of 2,000, if not 3,000 different people over the first year that Obama was serving as president, and I could not find, honest to God, I swear to you right now, I've never talked to a single person, not one, that admitted that they had voted for Obama. Now, he's already served one term, he's in his second term, I'm still asking people, who did you vote for? Who did you vote for? I have come across three people that voted for him in the first election and did not vote for him in the second election. And that's it. That's all I can find. Yet he is president of the United States, but I don't know anyone that voted for him.
Raymond, the issue is that it's voting that got the world in this problem in the first place.
But if you're going to vote...
A vote means you have faith in the system.
The saying you are people that
have... If you're voting, you are supporting the system. It's the system that is killing us. The system is not there for our benefit. We support it with our vote and accept the system. If nobody voted, then they can't say, well, we have the support of the people. Do you see it from that point of view, Raymond?
I definitely see it from that point of view. But at the same time, if everybody voted, then you'd have a truer count. And what I'm saying is there are people that have a good life, a good job, nice home, and they get complacent.
I understand. Here's another point for you, Raymond. Most people vote.
It's time we had a revolution, a bloodless revolution. It's time for the people that work for a living get up on easy dead butts and take control. I mean, my God, the unemployment in the United States is what? 12%? 10%? 13%? I mean, we're talking 13 people out of 100. If the other 87 people would get up and vote, then we'd have better control.
Yeah, and the problem about everybody not voting is the fact that they're, like you mentioned earlier, about paid people that are paid to go out and vote. So if they're the only vote, you know exactly where that's going to go.
Exactly.
But if you do, or if you are going to go through the process of voting, you need to make sure that it's being counted. You know?
Yes.
How do you do that? You get people on the election committees that you know you can trust to watch as the counting is being going on. If they say the only ones who can be in here are Democrats to count the votes, then you say, no, we have Republicans in there as well. We have both sides of the party represented, all parties represented for all votes. Otherwise, we're not gonna say this election's legal. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And the Electoral College is a big part of it, of the corruption of voting. Because the Electoral College is not the popular vote. It's whoever Congress wants to be president. Well, that's the reason it was set up to start with. For control, because they control the Electoral College.
Once again, it always going to fall back to we the people and knowledge. Our knowledge that our average Joe over here have in their heads as far as survival goes, as far as, you know, livelihoods go, whether they can be a farmer or not be a farmer or a carpenter or anything, the knowledge that they got in their head is the future generation of this world. And if I was to be any younger and have to live in this world, I'd be one of the guys out there shouting at the top of my lungs saying, hey, we got to do something about this because y'all stupid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean,
yes,
if the power grid goes down, I know men who can't even change a spare tire. You know what I'm saying? That's if a man doesn't know how to change a tire on a car that he's driving, that's bad.
Yeah, it is. That's the first thing I taught my wife, how to change a tire, how to change oil in a car, and how to change the spark plugs.
So what is the future of our world? On the path that we're going right now, it's a mess. I mean, we can talk about all the conspiracy theories in the world, but we need solutions. We need some common sense reasoning, things that can be done. And I loved your idea earlier about doing shows like what if this happened, what would you have to work with? And we have done in the past similar deals like that, you know, alternative foods or things to store and that kind of stuff. That's really good knowledge-based information. And one of the things that we really seriously need to address is to tell people, you know, you need to teach your children as much as you possibly can, because the world that we're living in today, I mean, come on, man, think about this for a second. You look at all the things that you hear on the news, the mainstream media, it's continuously, there's a boogeyman behind every doggone bush. And the kids are growing up believing there's a boogeyman behind every bush. They're growing up every day, they take their little backpacks to school, they walk through the metal detectors, they get frisked down and wanted by the metal detector there, they're walking around there. They walk right dead up into a maximum security prison. Now, if you're a child, and this is the world that you live in, and this is all you know, when your children grow up and they're complaining about cameras, what are you going to tell them? Hey, well, I did it. I survived. You can go to prison, too. No biggie.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want my children raised in a prison setting. I want to educate the people out there. And if there are people out there that are doing stupid things like that, they're held harshly accountable. No, I was crazy, so I get off for the, I'm a nutcase. If you go in and shoot up a school, then you take the harshest penalty, period.
Yes.
You know, and if more people knew that the consequences were worse than what they're dealing with now, then they might think twice before they do it, you know?
You know, I had an idea a long time ago and I think if we did it, extend that idea to Congress itself. I'm about every...
Yeah, no, the Congress... Congress should be held to a higher standard than the average Joe.
Chief officer, everybody, yeah. Could judges, anybody and everybody has anything to do with our police force, automatic. If they are caught doing something wrong, they are the ones enforcing the law. But yet it's proven that a lot of them break the law.
And they cover for each other, and people get off with a slap on the wrist for doing terrible things, and we all know it. We the people know it. We the people see it. When we the people get pulled over by a police officer, and we get a speeding ticket, and then later on we see that same police officer in his patrol car, knowing that the law clearly states that if you are a police officer, your lights and siren both must be activated if you are speeding, otherwise you are breaking the law. But yet they go 70, 80 miles an hour down the freeway, that if you went over 65, you would get a ticket.
All right, now here's the law, the actual written law. As far as a police officer speeding and breaking the speed limit, he does not have that right. The police officer, even in an emergency, the police officer does not legally have the right to speed. However, he is overlooked because he's supposed to be responding to an emergency call.
But you have to be en route to a real emergency, and you must have both lights and siren activated to warn the general public before you are breaking the law, which you are right. By law, they are breaking the law because they are speeding. They're supposed to, with common sense, get there as quickly as they can, as safely as they can. And when you see police officers who just pulled somebody over, flying down the freeway, doing 70, 80 miles an hour just because they're in a police car, they are breaking the law. And unless we the people, if you see a police officer driving down the road doing 70, 80 miles an hour, you go top of his head to the chain of command and you tell him, I saw one of your officers flying 70, 80 miles an hour down the road. I just got a ticket from that same officer.
Yeah, but you know, the lights do not give him the right. They're only there for public safety, to warn other people that he is coming.
But I'm saying, here in the state of Missouri, I used to be a police officer, and so I know the regulations. It clearly states that if you are going to break the law, such as speeding, you must have both lights and siren activated, otherwise you are breaking the law.
Right.
So, either way, it's if you see in your congressmen and your senators and all the corruption, and you're standing idly by with your hands sitting on your hands and just complaining about your government, there's no positive move forward. There's no solution in action right now. If you are voicing your concerns and holding their feet to the fire, whether it be mailing them continuously letters after letters after letters and going to meetings and being physically involved with the doggone system itself, then whatever you get is the work that you put in. You see what I'm saying? You reap what you sow kind of thing?
I would like to finish my suggestion.
Go ahead.
My suggestion is anybody, in connection with law enforcement get a 10% raise. That's a lot of money nationwide. But as officers of the law to enforce the law, they should know the law. Therefore, if they break the law, then their minimum sentence, whatever, be it a fine or jail time, their minimum sentence will be double the maximum of a private citizen. Therefore, they can't break the law.
Yeah, you see, that's what I'm saying. They should be held at a higher standard than the average Joe because they know the law.
What I was looking for, a higher. They are enforcers of the law. Therefore, they should and must be held to a much higher standard. And that, in that, yes, Congress as well, even more so. They are the one that makes the law.
Well, and when they get caught doing the things that they do, then
they pass, then they serve time, big time.
Yeah, it should be mandatory jail sentence for any crime, for any Congress or any senator to take bribes or whatever is illegal according to their deal. There should be a mandatory deal. No ifs, ands, or off for good behavior kind of thing, and then a lot of that stuff will stop. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. And no political amnesty. This is bull crap.
Yeah, once again, you don't get political amnesty because you're a citizen. Right?
Exactly. Why should they? They're the ones that made the law. They know what it means. The average citizen may not.
The whole thing?
Well, let me tell you something. Politicians are not ignorant of law. They're the ones that make the law. Therefore, if they break it, they should be held to a much higher standard.
Yeah.
Like 4 times the penalty for private citizens, because they are the ones that made the law.
Yep.
They made the law. Therefore, they should and absolutely rightfully must be held to a much, much higher standard.
So, as it stands right now with the system that we're contending with and the populations of the world that we're contending with, the future of our world can look very bleak. Or we can actually take that fork in the road and start learning as much as we possibly can on an individual basis and learning as much as and teaching as much as we possibly can to our children. And sending this, steering this boat, even however so slightly, off into a different direction. The elite of the world only get by with what they do because we are ignorant of their ways. Now, there's a lot of people out here who've done researches into the Illuminati, the Freemasons, and all the different groups. And I've even seen Zionists up in there and everything under the sun. That's neither here nor there. They're the minority. We know that they're corrupt, all right? They've already proven their track record shows that they're corrupt. But if we're going to continue to live like sheep, we're going to continue to be treated like sheep. We're going to be cattle, is all we're going to be. Unless we reach back to our documents from our foundings of each of our nations. And if you're not satisfied with the document that you got right there that says, we the people, you know, these are our rights and our laws and our agreements. This is what we'll live in society as a representative republic. If they're not doing what they said, only one that can change it is we the people. You know, these guys are getting in there slowly picking away, chipping away at the foundation of what we call society. If we allow it, then it happens. If we don't say, you know, I don't agree with that war over there, if we allow our president to go over there into foreign nations and bomb sovereign countries without saying anything about it, if we allow the drone strikes and so on and so forth, if you listen around the world, you will hear people talking about America as if all America is this terrible place and all Americans are terrible people. I got friends in Russia. I don't want them harmed in any form or fashion. These are wonderful individuals, brilliant, in the same kind of research that I'm into. I got friends in Scotland and Ireland and Canada and Australia, and I don't want any of them harmed. I don't agree with them going over there fighting with these individuals. So when it's going on, these public servants are not representing me. They are not representing me when they do terrible injustices to the world. And what I do with what I got to work with my resources, is I get out here and I talk to people like Raymond and all you guys here on the Knights of the Round Table, and I try to spread some good positive hope and information and something that would send us off into a different direction, because the more people that we get on board with our way of thinking, we're not trying to create some sort of one world government. We're trying to create some sort of one world idea, some one world people, you know, where we know that our people, our brothers and sisters, are in all these different nations, and we want them fed, we want roofs over their heads, we want them to have jobs, and we want them to have life, liberty, and justice. You see what I'm saying? This is where it needs to go. And the only way it's going to get there is when the average Joe educates themselves and their families. The only way that we can get anything in this world accomplished that we want is if we get up and do it ourselves. Our representatives take bribes. They are threatened. They are blackmailed. They are, you know, in a filthy system that is and has been corrupt since day one, since the founding of the United States of America, since the document, we the people of the United States, you know, the United States Constitution, since the very founding, and even before the founding of this nation, there were corrupt guys in the midst of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. There were corrupt guys at the signing of the United States Constitution. And they were there to ensure that somehow or another they could keep their hand on the wheel of control. There has been a struggle for freedom from day one. There still is a struggle for freedom, from everyone's sovereignty in Scotland and Ireland and all the different nations of the world. There has continuously been a struggle for freedom. And the best way to control the population is to make sure that they don't know what you're doing. They live in secrecy. Just like John F. Kennedy said before he was shot. You know, there's a vast conspiracy out there in this world. And you don't have to be a tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist to understand that what happened to John F. Kennedy happened because of what he said on that podium during that amazing speech. And until we the people stand up and say, hey, you're not going to shoot those guys who are talking, you know, freedom. We're going to protect them with everything we got. We didn't protect John F. Kennedy back in the day. The people had no idea why he got shot. And they allowed the lies to continue. Just as we, the people these days, allow the lies to continue. If we want freedom, it's going to take us doing like Raymond said. Get up off the couch. Get involved. Start with your own family. You educate your family to the best of your ability and truthful with wisdom, and then you educate your neighbors to the best of your ability with truth and wisdom. And then you educate your local town councils, your local sheriffs, your local constable, your local school boards. You educate them with wisdom.
You know, I got an email the other day, and it was something very, very profound. It had a picture of Martin Luther King, and the caption under it was, "If he were alive today, what would he say?"
He would be sick.
Were destroyed in 4 years by one black man. Martin Luther King was all about working together, no matter what color you was. What color you are, it made no difference. It's working together.
Yep.
And one black man, or supposedly self-proclaimed black man, he's not, he's a mulatto, but in 4 years, he has alienated the blacks against the whites and the whites against the blacks. He has tried very, very hard to cause disrest among the races, not just in the United States, but the world. The man has tried very hard. He has pitted black against white.
And that's their strength, Raymond. That's their strength.
He king or an emperor is supposed to do. Truly, by all rights, the definition of a king, an emperor, a sovereign being, a president, he is a servant.
Yeah.
To serve his people. If you were to have a really productive and happy kingdom, and you are the king, then you are a servant to your people.
The highest honorable position in any human life is being a servant to your fellow man. That's the highest honorable position.
I agree with that completely, with every fiber of my being.
And, you know, with that said, you know, I hear all the conspiracy theories. I know it. I hear it, you know. But I don't want people to think that this is all hopeless, because no matter what you say, no matter what your vote is, that you're not going to get things done. And that is the lie. That is the great lie that is being told to all the people of the world. There's all this negativity. There's all this terrible stuff going on. There is terrorists behind every bush, and you need us to protect you. There is nothing you can do, because the system is so corrupt, you cannot fix it. That is the greatest lie ever told in all nations, is that you have no choice. You do have a choice. You have a choice on how you live your life. You could either go out there and follow the system blindly, or you can educate yourself and you can bring yourself to an enlightenment that you can raise your children knowing, look, this is what the system does over here, and this is what you would probably want to do instead. You could raise your children with wisdom and common sense. And that child may even get lucky enough to grow up and become one of the representatives in this world and pass that on down the line. It's kind of like the abusive family. If you have a family where the father is beating the heck out of the mama, the father's beating the heck out of the children, you're going to pass that same stuff on down to their children. In one place in time, you need to break that chain so that you are not like that. You're taking that path somewhere else. You see what I'm saying?
Good or bad, it is not going to happen until, like you said, we, the people, get off our dead, lazy duck and do something about it. You don't have to fight. You don't have to shoot anybody. You don't have to kill anybody. All you have to do is stand up and say, I am an American citizen, and I am tired of this, and I'm going to vote. And if the person that you don't vote for gets elected, find out why.
Yeah, check the numbers. You know,
and get all of our people that you know voted for the same guy you did and he didn't get elected, and demand a personal count of votes. And like Sajid says, some would buy a group of people that can be trusted.
You know, walk the vote.
State lawyer and all congressmen, 85% of all congress people are ex-lawyers.
Only way to make sure that vote counts is...
Understand, because if you could, then you would need lawyers. They're going to protect their own. That's why they deliberately like rocket laws in words that a common man cannot understand. Therefore, you have to hire another lawyer to interpret these laws for you.
Yep.
The first part, second person of the third part. I mean, come on, give me a break. Write the laws where people can read them and understand them.
If you don't understand it, don't sign it. Simple as that.
And you don't initiate a law and then change it to get another congressman's vote. He either comes up with a good law and you vote for it, or you don't.
You know, funny thing is, when we're talking about all this, I'm checking out some of the comments in the chat room, and Ryan, he's pointed out some things, you know, about Barack Obama was Barry Satorial, and when did he change his name? It's like, the average Joe has seen this, and these guys are doing it right in front of your face and saying, oh no, you're not seeing what you're seeing or whatever. You know, you watch the news media and you see these anomalies in the news, and you say, like, you know, that didn't look right, what's going on? And then you ask them and you take what they give you and move on. I say, No, you don't take what they give you and move on. If you don't agree, you don't allow it to continue. You stand there at the news media and you hold their feet accountable just as well.
Exactly. The problem, we're not holding the news media accountable, because it was Samuel Clemens, who's better known as Mark Twain, and I've said before on the same radio show, he who does not read the newspaper is uninformed. However, he who reads the newspaper is misinformed.
Yeah, if you read that newspaper and don't double check the facts in there.
The news media needs to be held accountable.
Well, it's sad that we live in a society where you can't even trust the doggone news to give you honest information, but that's the way it goes, folks. You know, it's like I say in the so-called energy crisis that they talk about. You know, we're going to run out of oil, or we're going to run out of this, or we're going to run out of that, whatever. You know, it's all a bunch of BS. We're not running out of nothing. The only thing is, you know, it's supply and demand. They want to sell their product to you, whether it be fuel or electricity or whatever. They want to sell it to you. And so they're going to tell you whatever they can tell you in order to jack the prices up. And then when you stop buying, guess what? The prices go down. Why is that? They still had the same amount of oil, didn't they? It should still be rare, right? But yet the prices go down. The prices go down because they're stockpiled up there and they can't leave it set too doggone long. Otherwise, it goes bad and they got to refine it again. So, with that said, you have power. You have power at the pumps. You have power at the grocery store. You have power at your local town councils, your local school boards. But, you know, if you allow yourself to get into a situation where you don't even have time or even feel like going up and sitting in on a town meeting, then whatever happens in that town, it's called implied consent. They run it in the newspaper. They say, we're going to do this if nobody complains and nobody even sees the ad, because it's like microscopic in the fine print of subsection A of Article B of whatever document. And okay, it's cool with me because I'm not going to say anything or complain. Implied consent has given these guys the opportunity to run roughshod over you and make billions. When was the last time that you've seen a congressman go into the Senate who was dirt poor? And if he did go in there as dirt poor, why is it that whenever he got out of it, he was filthy, stinking rich?
Yep. Now, I brought that up on another radio show. Why would a man spend $350 million campaigning to get elected to a job that pays less than $500,000 a year for 4 years? Does that smell like corruption to you? Well, sure it does to me.
That's the question. And shouldn't we, like, take money completely out of it and make it a felony, a flat out, the harshest felony, the harshest penalty for taking any kind of money, bribery, or whatever from anyone? You know?
Exactly.
But you look how many millions of dollars are donated to candidates in these elections. It's crazy. The average Joe can't compete. The average farmer's not going to be a senator or congressman.
There's not one president ever elected that did not spend more money on campaigning than he owned in his own pocket.
So why would you spend?
Because they always get people donating money to their campaigns, but it's not people, it's corporations, hoping that that president or vice president or whatever elected official, they're hoping that they'll do something in favor of them.
Yeah.
So it should not be against the law to donate to a president. It should be against the law for corporations to donate campaign money, because that is a point of bribery. In the law, in the roundabout terms, you can declare it bribery. Why else would a corporation donate money? Private individuals, the president is supposed to be a servant of the people. Therefore, only the people, those that support him, can actually donate money to his campaign. That's the way it should be.
So all the educated, we the people, individuals of this world, we sit here and we know We know the common law. We know all the different things that are legal and not legal. Now, the question is, are we going to extend this like we're doing here on this radio network and multiple other radio networks? And if you notice, they're growing by the day. Are we, the listeners out there and the people participating in the chat rooms and on the Knights of the Round Table and Mad Science Show and all these other shows on all these different networks, are you participating just on the show, or are you out there participating with your neighbors? Because I would love to hear stories of things that I have done in my local community to benefit humanity and move this off in a direction that where we know, sitting here at the Knights of the Round Table, that we are definitely making a difference. And I think we are definitely making a difference. I believe the numbers have keep going up. I believe that the information that we put out there is worthy information, and that if it was taken to heart and used and researched, that more good information to come to the table, and this is what it's all about, you know?
I suggest that the Knights of the Round Table in the future do not endorse any political candidate whatsoever, but encourage the people to research the history of that person running for that office.
Oh, we've never endorsed any candidate. All we have said that is before you pull that lever, you know who that person is.
Yes.
Because they have a track record. You know, and there's sayings out there such as leopards don't change their spot.
Only but Obama's track record is 47 hours.
Yeah. He ain't got no track record. He's like the sub-secret guy that just popped onto the scene and everybody thought he was the Messiah. I think he's a doggone antichrist myself, but that's just me. But either way, all I can say is what he's doing to our country and his followers and all the representatives up there, including the Democrats, Republicans, and all the others involved in the situation, what they are doing to this country and the world as a whole does not, and I repeat, does not represent we the people. The average we the people is outside smoking grass or getting liquored up or playing Nintendo or working their butts hard trying to earn a living and take care of their family. The average individual out there, the average American out there, is struggling trying to survive. They call this group of individuals the working poor. There are homeless people in America. The wealthiest country, supposedly, in the world, we have homeless. We have starving individuals in America. We have people on food stamps. We have people on everything under the sun. Every kind of freebie that they can get, they're getting it. We got people out there who can't even pay their light bills. People who can't even pay their mortgage. People are getting their houses stole right out from underneath their feet. And so all the individuals out there all over the world who believe that Americans have it made, try living in our shoes for a day. Seriously. It's not as easy being an American as it looks. Sure, we got more freedom than the average Joe out there, but every day, without fail, we're bombarded with this regulation, that regulation. They're trying to steal everything from the United States Constitution. They're trying to ship every single job to foreign countries. They're trying to level the United States of America down to the poorest nation so that we're all on the same level. All right? Well, we can't help the world if we're not strong. Period.
Scott Miller and I brought up something a while ago about Obama not being in control and being a puppet. In actuality, if you think about it, what's the possibility that Congress put him in there as a joke, but a satiric joke, total satire, to prove how much control they have and how little control the people have? Because truly, Obama, as president, is nothing more than a bad joke.
Well,
and Congress, not the people, are the ones that put him there, and they did it to prove to the people and show the people that they have control. It's time the people took control back.
Well, for whatever reason, that he's
David,
in there.
Can I?
Go ahead.
One sec. Congress didn't put Obama in there. The same people that put Congress in there put Obama in there. They're all puppets. they're an illusion to make you think that those people are the ones that are controlling your society. As I said, Obama is just a public relations guy. You know, he isn't the man in charge. They tell everyone he's the man in charge.
But regardless...
You know, can you imagine Obama sitting down and writing 13,000 pages of Obamacare? Did he do that in one night? No. Do you think he spent a week on it? No. Do you think he spent a month on it? Do you think he even read it? No. Somebody else is doing this all for them. They are there as presenters, you know. Their hardest decision is, should I wear the black suit or the grey suit today? They just tell you what they're going to do to you. And when I say they, the people who put them there, you know, he does serve the people who put him there. And the people who put him there aren't the voters.
Well,
you know, it's,
you know,
the big finances.
Exactly.
I agree that it's all a doggone illusion, and these guys may or may not be public. I don't care about that. It all falls down to the same exact thing. That until the average Joe gets educated, until the average Joe knows their rights before they go into that bogus courthouse, until people know what they can and can't do, until they understand and exercise their true God-given rights in my eyes, until they understand the true meaning of sovereignty, the true meaning of freedom, and all the things that come with that, then the average Joe is going to continue to allow these puppets to dance at the show. You see what I'm saying?
I totally agree.
Go
out of here. I've got a situation coming up that I can't stay here any longer. I'm sorry. It was a great conversation. I enjoyed all of your company.
All right. Hope it works out, Raymond. Take care.
Oh, you will.
Yeah, nice hearing you, Raymond.
Nice to meet you.
The whole key there is that, look, you know, we know that all this stuff at the top ain't right. We know that there's secret societies, and there definitely is indeed conspiracies going on. There has been since the dawn of mankind. People have gathered to conspire for power and money and glory and fame and fortune and whatever. But if the average Joe just sits by idly and allows the system to flow like it does, you know, if it's flooding in your yard, you do something about it. You dig a ravine and send that water off in a different direction. If your system is so doggone corrupt, you start building a system of your own that will work for you and the people around you in your local communities. You don't have to allow these guys to put the puppet show on for you, tell you all the lies they want, and then run around and steal everything you got. You don't have to allow them to do that. We allow them to do that. We don't voice our opinions. We don't voice our frustration. And when the folks that do voice their opinions and their frustrations...
That's very true, Chaz.
They get beat up.
Yeah.
And then other people stand idly by and say, well, they deserve to get beat up. They shouldn't have stepped out of line. We're not in prison. We are in prison, but we are not meant to be in prison. If the neighbor is getting beat up and you don't stand up for them, if the Jews being hauled off to the gas chamber, or the Christians being slaughtered, or the Muslims being tormented, and you don't stand up for them, you consent. You agree. And when they come for you, like the guy said, who's going to stand up for you when everybody else is gone? Those are your family.
That's right. Exactly. You have to stand as a united front. If you don't, then whilst you're divided, they can pick you off.
Yeah, don't sit around and argue about it. Stand up.
I have a simple solution that would change all the laws pretty rapidly to make them work for the people. And the simple solution is basically, there are no exemptions. There is no diplomatic immunity. You know, no wealthy person can skip paying taxes because he knows the loopholes.
Yep. You
know, no exemptions. If they paid the same amount as tax as us at the bottom, then the tax would drop immensely.
Yep.
Because their greed is more important. So, you know, if there was no exemptions, no diplomatic immunity, the laws would be...
I agree.
So different than what they are today.
I agree. You know, if they're held accountable for their actions, you know, like I said, just on the simple speeding of the police officers, they think they can get by with it, and the average Joe don't know enough about the law to say that, hey, that cop is speeding. Or, you know, they might say that cop is speeding, but then not complain to their chief of police or whoever's in charge of them. They're not voicing their views. Now, if the chief of police of whatever county they were speeding in was to continuously get phone calls on a daily basis, hey, your officer's speeding, your officer's speeding, your officer's speeding, and they continuously hear this, then you're going to see that those officers begin to slow down. That's the way it works. And until the average Joe realizes that their voice is...
Yeah, that's right. Just...
Go ahead. You cut out. Sorry.
I was just going to say that. Just picture the scene. There you. Okay. I was just going to say that. Picture the scene. You're doing 60 miles an hour, and a police car catches you up, blue flashing lights, and pulls you over. And he comes over and starts bitching at you. You know, you was doing 60. Well, yeah, but you must have been going a hell of a lot faster to catch me. Where's the justice now?
Yep. Well, you know, we've given a lot of authority to a lot of people, including.
It's a good point, though, isn't it?
Yeah. We have given a lot of authority to a lot of people and allowed them to do things that we wouldn't get by with ourselves. And that's the key. You know, knowledge is our tool. Allowing them is our enemy. If we allow them to do all the things that they do to us by not saying, you know, I'm saying, if your neighbor's going to go protest and get beat up by the cops, and you're going to say, well, you know, I'd join you, but, you know, I'm not into getting beat up by the cops, maybe you ought to, instead of encouraging them to go get beat up by the cops, saying, look, instead of going up there wasting your time protesting, let's go to the next town council meeting and let's serve them with some documents to say that they're out of line, and let's try to work it out through the system without getting beat up first. You see what I'm saying? I think everybody went silent on me. Who all we got left in here?
I'm here. Justin's here. I'm back.
We need to be wise, you know.
Me also. The connection dropped.
I'm just saying, guys, look. The ultimate power lies in the people. The ultimate power was given, in my view, by my God. The God-given rights.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's where it should stand. And if I say this all the time, if you don't agree with something that, if somebody's standing next to me and they're telling a racist joke, and I stand idly by and I just kind of, you know, chuckle, yeah, ha ha, and in my mind I say I don't agree, but I'm standing there, I consent to that because I'm standing there and I'm not even saying anything about it. But if I put that individual on the spot and say, is that the way you really believe? And if they say, yeah, I say, well, I'm sorry, but I can't be your friend anymore because I don't believe that you should treat people like that, you know? Until you do that to your own mayors and senators and congressmen and police officers, when you know that they're doing something wrong, until you hold their feet to the fire, until you ensure that your vote does count, if you think there's corruption in your local community, then you make sure that before that election comes around, that you have people in place that are going to count that and ensure that there's an honest count and you really get the person you elected, then it's going to continue. As long as there's a loophole in the law, like you guys said, as long as the doggone corporations can find a way out of taxes, you think that $1 million in your pocket as opposed to less than $1 million in your pocket doesn't look better? They're going to do whatever they can. They're going to use the law, the loopholes. They're going to use your ignorance, and they're going to go around you, and they're going to succeed while your family fails. You're going to continue to pay high electric bills because you haven't got the knowledge. You see the difference there?
Yeah,
Anybody?
Yeah, I see it.
You know, I keep talking about we the people. You know, if you think about it, we are the majority, and we are the ones complaining to each other about everything under the sun. We're talking about conspiracy theories. We're talking about presidential puppets and Congress and Senate puppets, and we're talking about corporations, and we're talking about all the bad things in the world. My grandfather used to say this all the time. If you want something done, you get up and do it yourself. If you want it done right, you do it yourself. Otherwise, you don't have no right to complain. If there's a chuck hole out in the street in front of your house and they won't fix it, then maybe you ought to take a sack of concrete over there and patch that hole before you blow a tire.
Mm-hmm. You don't vote, you have no right to complain. None.
Yep. And we have the solutions. We've proven it here on the Knights of the Round Table time and time again. Yesterday on the Mad Science Channel, we talked about composting heat and stuff like that, and that one idea was expanded on to the point to where it was a self-contained system. It had solar, it had wind, and if possible, hydro, and we were using it for electricity and everything else. So the solutions are there. They have been all along. It's just a matter of who's going to do it, you or me, or are we? Are we going to do it? See what I mean?
Yep.
That's the future of our world, people. In a nutshell, that's the future of our world. We don't always agree on who's in charge. We don't always agree on how they got in charge. But we all can agree that we have allowed a lot of things. We have been passive. We've allowed our world to be bombed. We've allowed people in this world to starve. And I know you as the individual out there, you as the individual would give the shirt off of your back, because it's my belief that the majority of all the people on this planet are good, loving souls that would do anything for anybody. And so I know that we the people are good folks. We have allowed people to starve. We have allowed things in this world, atrocities to occur in this world, such as drone strikes in foreign lands, and you know things that we had sent loud corporations to go down into foreign countries and pollute their water systems and just to make more money. And we have bought their goods. We've bought their goods through companies like Walmart and all the different big high name deals out there. Who at once Walmart, they had an honorable deal made in America, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Now it's made in China, Taiwan. Now, I ain't opposed to making stuff, because the Chinese make some good stuff if you allow them. But to go over there and pollute their land because you're not under the same regulations that you would be in America is not only shameful, it's disgraceful. It is worse than that. You just endangered all their health so that you could fatten your wallet up. But we, the people, still buy those products that may have been made by a child, you know, that got paid or not paid or beat up to make that product. We still buy it. We don't question where it came from. We just like the fact that it's cheap. And this is in all worlds. This is in all nations. We allow, by giving them implied consent on a daily basis, when we don't question where they got it, we just like the fact that it's cheap or it's convenient and we buy it. We're putting poison in our children's mouths. Every day we look at things, we go to store, we buy name brands. Read the side of a toothpaste deal. It says right on there, if accidentally ingested, call poison control. Why would they say that? Because fluoride, if you do some research on it, probably not very good for your health.
They put aspartame in baby food.
Yeah. We're poisoning our children. We're working ourselves to the bone. We are allowing our children to be indoctrinated. We are, if you think that being an American is such a cakewalk, people want to come here. I don't know why. Because the average American is so fed up that they want to leave, but they can't. Where are they going to go? Where in the world is better than America? According to them, they'd rather be slaves than be dead. Does anybody disagree with that?
No.
I do.
I don't live in the States, but...
Me neither, but I would want to go to America.
Well, brother, you're welcome.
Where most people live the... I realize that, but hey, man, you should actually consider coming to England. Even though we're under tyrannical rule here, we've got a little bit more freedom than
I would love to come to England. If I could make a world tour, I'd love to go to Scotland and Ireland. I'd love to come over there and meet you people face to face.
Great.
I'd love to meet you people.
The reason why I say England is slightly better than America is our police don't have arms. They're not armed. They don't draw a gun on you if you suddenly say, "What, officer?" You're a lot freer
here. The thing is, your policemen don't carry guns. But what are your laws governing as far as penalties for criminals that do carry guns?
Other than saying, in America?
That they are in the United States. That's why the police don't have to carry guns. But here in the United States, we don't have
that.
But
they do, though.
A man robs a 7-Eleven store with a pistol. Duh. If he doesn't kill anybody, he's only going to get 3 or 4 years in the prison. But now, if over in England, for example, if he uses a billy club and robs a 7-Eleven store, he's going to get 3 or 4 years. If he uses a pistol, he's going to get 15 or 20. You've got to equalize it out. If you're going to have the police officers in the United States not carry guns, good. But let's make the penalty for criminals using guns much more severe. Much more severe.
Let's put it this way. America has the world's highest percentage of prison population.
Yeah.
Okay. You know,
that's a flag.
You know, what does that tell you? That means that, you know, you get put in jail for a broken toenail in America. They'll jail you for absolutely anything.
Yeah, well,
here in England.
Here's something else that goes along with that. Here's something else that goes along with that. We got a huge population. We got people in jail longer for drugs than murder. We also have a large part of our society are either on alcohol, marijuana, Ritalin, Prozac, Luvox. There's so many different drugs that the average Joe, who is so entirely stressed out, and they have a name for every kind of stress under the sun, and we are not only drugged up, we're intoxicated, we're stressed to the limit, and those who aren't on drugs or some sort of deal are just insane or committing suicide. So if you actually look at the average Joe out there, you walk through your average Walmart and you look at people, look into their faces, and you see the iron deficiencies under their eyes, and you see the bags under their eyes, you see them walking over stooped and walking on crutches and doggone canes and sitting in wheelchairs. They're obese. They're sick. The American population are sick, and they're dying. They're either drugged up, whacked out, or just don't care. And you can see it.
It's a sad state of affairs, you know. Admittedly, back to your original point where you asked us, do we agree or disagree? And I volunteered a disagreement. But what I was trying to get at is the modern world that looks at America says, no way, we're not going there. You know, it's only the South American countries and third world countries that want to go there because they're under the same illusion that America is free. But when they actually get there, they discover that America is far from free. You know, they have much more freedoms in Africa than they do in America.
Well, you know, because, I would say... I would
America,
say,
you know, if you fail to stop at a junction, you know,
I would say that if you like America, then bring America to you, you know, because America is just an idea. You know, we look at it as a country. It is a place, a melting pot of the world for freedom and justice, and where everyone is supposedly has a opportunity. And this should be worldwide. This should be an idea that everyone can agree on. You know, regardless of all the conspiracy theories all the way back, or how this thing all ever came about, the grand scheme of things, the idea of America, freedom and justice for all, should be a worldwide thing. Everyone should want their neighbors to be free. Everyone should want their neighbors to be fed. Everyone should want justice in the law, and everyone to be equal. This should be a worldwide deal. And so if you look at America as the only beacon of light, and you're not trying to bring your own nation to match what you think that dream is all about, I would love to live in Ireland or Scotland. You know, there are people over there just like me. You know, they got a different culture, they got other things, but in at the end of it all, they want their family to be happy. They want their family to be free. They want everything that I want. They would rather have a barbecue with me than have a war with me. You know? And that's the way I feel.
Absolutely they do. Absolutely they do. You know, war is an illusion. It's all propaganda. Because war doesn't benefit anybody.
No, all it does is hurt us all. You know? If we go to war with Russia, I potentially lose a friend, you know? And that's sad. Because I look at friends, I look at all you guys like gold. You guys are just so, you're not only wise, you have a year's worth of research, you have talent, you have skills, you have your own individuality. And to me, I'm honored. It's my honor to sit here and talk to you guys. You know, I think, you know, I'm not worthy enough to have friends. It's wonderful. You know, and I'm happy that I have the opportunity to sit here and have these conversations with each and every one of you. This should be a worldwide thing. This should be common sense. This should be something that happens in all nations. This should be in Mexico. They should have a Knights of the Round Table. In Ireland, they should have a Knights of the Round Table. In Scotland, Knights of the Round Table. And I'm talking, when I say knights, I'm talking about we the people as those knights. We the people standing up for truth and justice and honor and integrity and what's right, period. And sharing wisdom freely and respectful to one another. That's what the Knights of the Round Table is all about. Old King Shaziz the Terrible, he's just a servant. And it's an honorable job. It's an honorable position to be your servant. A servant of the world community. That's what it's all about. In my own personal book, my own holy book, which they call the Holy Bible, it talks about being a servant in there. It talks about Jesus washing the feet of the prostitute. You know? It talks about what you do to the least of me, you do unto me. It talks about taking care of one another and being caretakers of the land and the animals and all that we survey. And that was an amazing gift that was given to the human race. This earth is such a beautiful, wonderful creation. And it belongs to all of us. If it doesn't belong to all of us, it belongs to none of us. And if you can't walk across the border in freedom to see your neighbor in a different country, then something's wrong. If you have to go over and bomb for their resources when you've got plenty in your own neighborhood, then something's wrong. If you have to take away somebody's life in order for the ends to justify the means, then something's wrong. And the only way that we're ever going to get anything right is if we the people stand up for what is right. And we do what it takes. We help that person out that's underneath the bridge when we see they're homeless. We don't just drive by and say, well, I feel bad for them, but I can't help. We don't drive past the person walking in the cold or the rain. We slow down and we ask them if they need a hand. We feed the hungry. We clothe the naked. We help each other out, and that is what will make this world a better place. If you think your representatives of this world are going to do it, look at the track record. Doesn't matter whether they're puppets or not. Look at their track record. And the guys at the top, the elite, the ones who are putting you and your families all in bondage, they're not just doing it on your side of the world. They're doing it elsewhere. They're doing it globally. We the people outnumber the elite by the billions. We the people with our combined knowledge have the capability to literally create a heaven on earth, a utopia. We the people have the power to create the dream. And until we exercise that power, until we educate ourselves and our children and our neighbors and our friends, until we show what is true love to the world, we're going to continue where we're going. And in my eyes, in my heart, it's not good. That's the best I got for you guys. I say it with a humble heart, and I say it with honor, because I'm honored just to be able to speak these words to you. Our future belongs to our children. And the world they live in tomorrow will be the world that we leave behind for them. That's a big price. That's a big burden to bear, if you give a damn. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. We're down to the last, looks like 11 or 12 minutes of the show. I think there's a lot of individuals on here who got something to say. And so...
Thanks for having me on the show, Shaz.
Well, brother, you're always welcome.
My only leader is myself. Thank you, Shaz. As I was saying, my only leader is myself. I do not look to my parliament for leadership, because they're leading me to hell, and I'm not going that way. So I take responsibility for my own life, and I follow my own path. I do all the right things that I can for myself, and if you want to change the world, it starts with yourself. Once you've discovered yourself, then you can change your community. But if your community's not right, you ain't going to change the world.
Teach that to a friend, brother. Teach that to a friend. That's wisdom. And thank you very much for those words.
I teach it to everyone I speak to. Thank you, Sha.
That's how it happens, guys and gals. That's how it happens right there. Who else has got something to say? Anybody? Justin, you got anything left?
No, I'm good.
Alright, guys, well, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I hope that something we said will benefit you and make your day, your life better. I hope that shows on Awake Radio and No Borders and We Roar and Shaziz Radio and all the other networks out there. There's so many of them, and they're coming on board every day because we don't agree. We don't consent. And we see this world going down a path that we don't want to be. I'm just trying to point out the common sense thing of it all. That the only way that the only hope that we got is for us to get up off the couch, like Raymond said, and do it. You know? Teach your neighbor how to garden. Teach your neighbor how to do whatever you have, whatever talent you have. Share your information freely and honestly with the world. And this world may actually have a hope after all. I don't believe we have to go to doomsday. I don't believe that. And if doomsday comes to us and we're prepared, I believe that we the people will rise to the occasion and help one another out. we the people will help feed each other and help keep each other safe. Now, are we going to have to contend with the hooligans in this world? Yeah, you have to. There's knuckleheads all over the globe. But we start educating our children, and I think that along the line and into the future, there are going to be less hooligans. It's not a mess that we got into overnight. It's not a mess that we can fix overnight. But we got something serious that needs to be done. And it starts with you. The world that we leave behind, the world that our children and our children's children will inherit, we're going to pave those stones for each and every one of them. That's what the Knights of the Round Table is all about. We're just one stepping stone. Maybe you guys got the other one. Put it in there for the next step. If you do, join in. It's as simple to become a knight. It's just as simple as a Skype call. You become an honorary Knight of the Round Table just by getting in the chat room and putting in comments and positive links to benefit people. It's a together thing. It's a family thing, and that's what we do here. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
Yeah.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot! Camelot! Camelot!
It's only a model.
Shh!
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to... Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, three dots when we're able. We do routines to call the scenes, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and blind that our quiet hunts in able. We're off from mad in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Ho, ho, ho! Tu sais, batalha! Always looking for